calls, and more. Wicket's World on Laser 103.3.
If you are watching the Olympics, there are always these stories that people are talking about the next day, and I can't figure out what's live, what's recorded, what's... I try to stay off social media because I don't want stuff ruined. So I know that, like, right now, the gymnastics are happening, but I don't want to know what's going on because I want to watch what happens. And so last night, I'm not sure when this actually happened, but in the pool, we have a swimmer named Katie Ledecky, who is supposed to be, like, our best swimmer ever. And Katie Ledecky is this, like, trash-talking swimmer who won gold in Rio 5 years ago, and she was the favorite or whatever to come in and win yesterday or whatever. And she didn't, because a 17-year-old named Lydia Jacoby, who nobody had ever heard of, stole the show in the pool.
King is behind. Schoonmaker is above her in lane four with a slight lead. And then you've got
Jacoby
up there in lane three. Challenging Schoonmaker. We've got 10 meters left. Lydia Jacoby, the 17-year-old from Alaska, is putting on the surge of her career. And Lydia Jacoby is going to win gold for the United States.
The surge of her career cracks me up because she's 17.
17 years old. She's been swimming since she was 10. Competitively, she won the state championship at like 12 or 14. She qualified. She's one of, you know, six teenagers on the U.S. swimming team. She's a ginger. She's from Alaska, which is the most surprising part of all of this, because the great country of Alaska, which is way up north, no one's ever actually been to Alaska. If you have seen what they were doing yesterday, this doesn't really translate well on the radio, so we're not going to play it. But they showed, like, it looked like a hangar, because I don't know what's going on in Alaska. It looked really great because they had this huge watch party of people in Alaska. And I don't know what time it is in Alaska. It's like Friday already in Alaska or whatever. But they start going ape you know what as the race is getting closer and closer. And this 17-year-old girl, who is the first Alaskan ever to win a gold medal in the history of Alaska, the great country of Alaska, she's the first one. And people, like, they're going, like, it looked like Woodstock 99. Like, they're going, jumping up and down. Chairs are going everywhere. It was crazy.
I mean, Limp Bizkit at Horizon Event Center is not going to be as crazy as this.
In Seward, Alaska, which has what the whole state of Alaska, has one 50-meter pool. And 50 meters is the length down one. That's like the shortest race they race at the Olympics. So to see that story, like, that's what makes the Olympics awesome, is this girl, she's been training her very short life, her entire life, for this moment. And she beat the heavy favorite, Katie Ledecky, who actually wound up getting bronze and who has been the darling for the last couple of years in the world of swimming. I think it was awesome. It was just such a cool moment last night.
We celebrate Katie as well. I mean,
she
got gold and bronze up there.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And what was great is they showed, like, the girl, Jacoby, her mom and her dad, who are down in Orlando. I don't know what they're doing in Orlando, but her parents are down in Orlando. And mom has got the classic mom move going on.
Oh, I loved that.
Because if we're at a concert or an event or whatever, you pull out your phone and you record it. Mom pulled out the giant iPad. She's holding it up, watching the recording it on the big screen. And to see that celebration, like, that's the story of the Olympics so far. That's it. Besides the men's basketball team sucking and the U.S. women's national team not playing great in soccer, that's the story of the Olympics.
Well, we've also got our brand new event, skateboarding.
Oh,
and we've got
our
skateboarding hopeful. See, I feel like Des Moines is going to really get on board with the skateboarding.
Yeah.
Because we had the Dew Tour come, and we've got the new skate park. And this skater, do you remember her name? I saw her this morning on KCCI. She's being interviewed, and she's so chill. Like, you want to cheer for
her.
Like,
skateboarders are just like, hey, whatever.
Well, apparently there's more skate parks in California than there are, like, coffee shops or something ridiculous. It's not that, but it's like there are so many, and she's from California, and she's talking about how she's excited to bring the culture, because she's like, hey, we've got all of these crazy names for our tricks, and it's going to be really fun to hear the commentators saying the names of the tricks, because we're used to hearing the ice skating tricks. Oh, it's a triple toe loop.
Triple sow cow.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
We're used to that. We're used to the gymnastics terms, but now we've got this skater vernacular are going on.
Is her name Alexis Sablone or Sablone?
I
found her talking to him, and she's talking about nollies and ollies and all those kinds of things.
It's fantastic.
And, it's really neat. So the story of the Olympics so far is this young girl out of Alaska, the very first gold ever. Lydia Jacoby is her name. And it was just so cool to see. And I just sat there last night watching. I'm like, did this happen 12 hours ago? Or am I watching this live? Or is this like just shortly taped? It didn't matter. It was really, really great.
Well, luckily, Wicket.
Yes.
You don't have to wonder about the medal count because we've got your heavy medal count on the Daily Wicket.
The 2020 Tokyo Games medal count. USA 8 gold medals.
Love this.
Medals! China, 6 gold medals! The UK, 4 gold medals!
Breaking news out of the Olympics. Wickets, dry your tears.
Laser 103.3's Morning Brews, intoxicating you with knowledge, sirs and madams.
Take a breath. Do your Lamaze over there. You know how to do it. You've had three.
We didn't do Lamaze.
All right. Off track.
Stay on topic. Wicket. There is news out of the Olympic Games. Can I have my music, please? Can I have my computer, please?
Yes.
Thank you. Go. The Olympics, the spectacle, the drama, the excitement, the anticipation, the names, and now there is no reason to continue the Olympic Games. Simone Biles is hurt. I'm not going to ruin anything for you about what's going on at the Games right now. There is live competition. This is not a spoiler. But the greatest gymnast in the history of the United States of America and perhaps the world, the 24-year-old star, the GOAT, Simone Biles, landed awkwardly on a vault. She was then met up with her trainers, the Olympic staff, and she was walked back to the locker room. She reappeared with a bandage around her leg. She hugged her teammates. She put on the warm-up jacket and sweatpants, and she is out for the team competition. We don't know what this means for the individual competitions, the all-around still to come later this week, but the GOAT is out. And we don't know what this means for the future. We don't know what's going to happen. This is why you have alternates, by the way. Jordan Chiles, I don't know who that is, but Jordan Chiles is going to replace Simone Biles. She replaced her on the uneven bars and the balance beam as the team competition rolls on. We have won the last two gold medals in the Olympic women's gymnastic team gymnastics. I can't even talk. I'm so upset.
I know.
The women's gymnastics team competition. We don't know the nature of the injury. We don't know. They're going to assess it later. You know, we will be assessed daily to determine medical clearance for future competitions is the official word out of USA Gymnastics. But doesn't look good. She's 24. Like, she's been doing this for a long time. Mm-hmm. That's an old 24. How much pressure she puts on her knees and on her ankles. I was watching an interview with her yesterday, and she talked about how she's not quite as fearless as she used to be because she's 24 and thinks. I mean, she talks about doing gymnastics the way I talk about going to the bar.
Well,
it's just not quite, everything hurts a little more, and you got to do things a little different than when you were young.
It's a different age progression because a lot of them are starting at 3, 4, 5 years old. So when you're 24, you are seasoned. You've been doing it a long time. You've hurt yourself a lot. And I'd like to show you the silver lining, Wicket.
You have a silver lining?
Yes, because she hurt herself. She came out bandaged, and we've got McDavid Elite. We've got patella band. We've got power centric. She can do a brace endorsement. The money's going to roll in. Have you ever heard of Bauer Find? I haven't, but perhaps she will now represent them and make all the money now that she has this moment where she's been bandaged up. I don't know what brand of bandage she's got on her right now, but
You're gonna.
I'm hearing dollar bills, Wicket, for Simone Biles, more so than she had before.
I wonder what Simone Biles' like net worth is. Because you have to imagine at this point, like, this is her last game. She's got to be done, right? She can't at she's not going to be 28 doing gymnastics, right? She's worth around $6 billion, as a matter of fact. I just looked it up on Forbes. So you wonder what she's going to do next. TV, coaching, whatever, the endorsement circuit, the speaking tours.
Yeah, there are infinite possibilities for her moving forward. She might even do another sport. A lot of people pivot and do another sport afterwards. I mean, curling. We've talked about that.
Do you really think Simone Biles is going to be in the 2022 games for the U.S. curling team? I bet you if Simone Biles took up curling, she would be effing awesome.
She could probably do skateboarding really well.
Maybe.
You could probably still skateboard after a gymnastics injury.
Mm-hmm.
Skateboarders are basically just duct taped together anyway.
I just feel really bad for Simone Biles. I mean, she's got all the gold and she's the great. She's got four moves named after her because no one's ever done them before. She's that great, and now we don't get to see her probably for the rest of the Olympics. It's not like she's going to wind up healing in a day. Whatever this ankle or knee thing is, whatever.
I hope that she does what we all do when we're down, which is get real heavy on TikTok. Maybe we will see her.
Balls and more. Wicket's World on Laser 103.3.
You done sobbing in the corner about Simone Biles, Wicket?
The prodigal son has returned.
Okay, good. We're back on the happy.
The man, the reigning MVP, the best quarterback in the National Football League is back in Titletown. He has landed. There was an actual plane tracker because he has a plane that he flies, because he's a millionaire. He has a plane that he flies in all the time, and it actually stopped in New Mexico where Shailene Woodley is filming a film called Robots.
Gross.
So there was a stop there, and then it made its way into Green Bay, Wisconsin, and Aaron Rodgers officially, not officially, but we're this close. Like, there were talks. There have been concessions. We've got a very unhappy diva quarterback. You have an organization that has their plan in place. And what we know so far, what got Aaron... I tried to explain this to Lee, my wife, yesterday, and she just said, Aaron sounds like the worst. And I said, Aaron Rodgers is really, I think, eroding his legacy as a fan favorite with the Packers. And he is under contract through the year 2023. So this year, next year, the following year. And he wants out of Green Bay. But Green Bay is like, well, you're under contract. So you kind of have to play for us or you can retire. We're not going to get rid of you. And if you retire, you're going to say no to $37 million. And nobody is going to do that despite making $250 million so far in his NFL career. So there were concessions made between the agent and the general manager of the Packers, Brian Gutekunst. And one of those is they chopped off that last year. So he is contractually obligated to play for Green Bay this year and next. There is also a clause that has come out. The Packers will reevaluate the relationship at this point next year or next off season. So if Aaron is unhappy, and he probably will be, if Aaron is unhappy, then the Packers said, all right, if you're unhappy, we will trade you next year. So everybody kind of comes out a winner here. I think the Green Bay Packers come out the biggest winner here because Green Bay basically had a plan. It was to draft this kid, Jordan Love, who you may or may not have heard of a couple of years ago, sit him for 2 years, and then move on from Rodgers. And that is still, as far as I can tell, the plan. They get everybody back this year. They get one more run at the Super Bowl with the MVP. The rookie quarterback gets another offseason to get better, to get more acclimated. Green Bay saves a little money. I think the Packers nearly played this perfectly. And then, of course, bonus next year, if they do have to move on, they get to pick where they're going to trade Rodgers, kind of like they did when they traded Brett Favre to the New York Jets. You trade him where he's not going to be able to burn you in the regular season. You trade him probably to a team who's not very good. And who knows? Maybe they'll act like adults and figure this out the next 10 months and everybody can be cool and say, I'm sorry, and bro hug, and, you know, we'll be fine. And he's there for the final year of his contract. But the best case scenario, Packers win the Super Bowl and either Rodgers retires or they move on or whatever. But Aaron Rodgers is back, and that's why I'm wearing my Aaron Rodgers hooded jersey today.
Well, the real story here is not your wife Lee disliking Aaron Rodgers. The real villain is Shailene Woodley.
Why?
Normally, Wicked, I love the celebrity couples where the sports guy is with the lovely actor, woman. I mean, Russell Crowe and Sierra, Hank Bass and Kendra Wilkinson, David Beckham and Posh Spice, Giselle and who
Tom,
was,
Tom Brady.
That dude.
You're that guy.
Giselle is the famous one in my mind. I normally love them and I love love, but they're not power coupling right. She's holding him back from his stuff. Her influence is infiltrating his decision making. I don't like her.
Well,
he takes his jet stops on his way to think.
Wouldn't
so
that?
Cute.
Wait a minute.
If
new boyfriend Marcus had a plane and you were like somewhere, you were in Seattle or something like that, and he was on his way to Vancouver, he would like, oh, let's stop in Seattle and say hi to Heather. You would love that if he did that. Don't give me that. You would love it if there was a stop. If Marcus, who has a scooter, your boyfriend, zipped down here.
Listen, it's a skateboard.
If he zipped down Locust and stopped here and said hi, brought you a Starbucks and maybe some flowers to say hi, and then moved on to his next gig, whatever he's got going on today, you would love that. You would swoon. You'd be like, oh, did you see Marcus dropped off flowers and coffee? That was so sweet.
It's a very important difference, Wicket. If Marcus was on his way to photograph the Dew Tour,
mm-hmm.
he wouldn't have, it wouldn't be in question whether or not he was going to show up. It wouldn't be like, is he going to be there or not? No, obviously he's going to be there. There wouldn't be any drama about, oh, is the money going to, no. So Shailene Woodley is the problem.
Olivia Munn was the problem. Out. Danica Patrick was the problem. These are the last two women that he dated that we knew about.
He has terrible taste.
He dated Shailene Woodley and got engaged last offseason and had the best year of his career. He won the MVP while dating Shailene Woodley.
I was also not impressed with her on Big Little Lies.